Brought to you by Hyundai. Experience the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Welcome to the official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. As promised, we're back this week, and we have executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse on hand to speak about last week's episode, Every Man for Himself. In true podcast tradition, they'll also be taking your fan questions and talking about this week's adventure, The Cost of Living, which airs Wednesday, November 1st, from 9 to 10 p.m. So, without further ado, here now is your Pod Squad.
Hello, Lost fans. This is Carlton.
And Damon.
How are you guys? We're back, yes, for another podcast.
You're assuming that everyone's listening is, in fact, a Lost fan by addressing, hello, Lost fans. What if...
How would you characterize our podcast listeners?
I don't know.
Podcast listeners.
I don't know. I'm just saying it's awfully, you know...
It's awfully bold and assumptive to say that someone's listening to a Lost podcast because they're a Lost fan.
Maybe they hate Lost.
And they're, yes, that's true. You know, well, hate and love are very closely linked. Indifference is a whole other story, isn't it?
Don't I know it. I'm sitting next to you right now. Trust me. Oof.
All right. Well, let's jump right in, Damon.
Let's talk about Every Man for Himself, which was the title of last week's Sawyer-centered episode. Big shout-outs to Eddie Kitsis and Adam Horowitz, who wrote that particular episode, And again, Josh Holloway did a beautiful job acting in there.
He did. I would say he was very good.
And a very special Stephen King shout-out buried in that episode somewhere, which we will not reveal.
But
if you can guess what it is, though, you win a box of mixed biscuits. Dharma biscuits.
I don't think we were actually allowed to give prizes without actually, you know, fulfilling like 39 contest rules, you know, so.
You know what I say about those rules, Carlton?
What do you say, Damon?
I say that I obey them staunchly because I'm an employee of the Walt Disney Corporation.
Exactly. All right. So, talk about Sawyer's discovery, Damon, that they're on a separate island. What implications does this have for our prisoners?
Well, Carlton, I guess the most obvious implication is that escape is not going to be as easy as one might think. I mean, now it's not just being in a cage, which those cages seem relatively easy to get out of, to be honest with you. But the fact that the real prison is this little smaller island that they're on is somewhat unsettling. So one would imagine that that is slightly intimidating for Sawyer and Kate.
Exactly.
And Jack, who doesn't even know yet that they're on an island.
Hey, by the way, can we just go back to the glass ballerina for a minute?
You mean the episode?
Yes.
Sure.
I think it would be a good idea for us to just clarify for the audience that Jay did commit suicide. I mean, there's been a lot. That was one of those unintentional mysteries that we did not want to.
I don't even know how it's a mystery. I mean, you know, the guy gets beat up by Jin. Jin says, "You're dead now. Like, you know, leave the country. We know he's in love with Sun." And he takes a header and lands on Jin's car, and he's got the pearl necklace in his hands. I mean, what kind of guy grabs onto a pearl necklace before he gets thrown out of a...
Wait. Before you throw me off the building, let me get that pearl necklace.
I guess there was someone assumed that Sun might have thrown him off the balcony, which is even more shocking to me.
Wow.
Because I wouldn't even know what her possible motive would be. And if he ripped the pearl necklace off of her neck while she was throwing him off, certainly all the pearls would have scattered.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that would be the reason, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad we cleared that up.
Okay, good. Now, can we go back to Outlaws in season one?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's now go back to Tabula Rasa in season one. When Rose and Jack are sitting on the beach... we had a little bit of a revelation last week, too. Carlton Sawyer has a daughter, supposedly.
Indeed he does.
Named Clementine.
Clementine. It's kind of a good name.
That's your name, isn't it?
It actually is.
Most people don't know that Carlton is his middle name.
It's that alliteration. It's Clementine Carlton Cues.
Are we going to hear any more about this Clementine character in the future, perhaps?
I think by season 16 of Lost, she will be an incredibly prominent character.
16. All right. Exactly. Well, you know, I'm not really doing anything until then, so I can wait around.
Hang around. We'll,
that's
we'll,
a compelling
we'll
enough
learn
mystery
more.
When Clementine is 18 years old.
Exactly. Well, why don't you talk about Jack's storyline with the others and his attempt to save Colleen? What are the implications of her death, Damon? Now,
that's a really good question. I mean, first off, you know, so now an other has died, and, you know, I always find it interesting thinking about that episode that Jack is sort of so quick to actually help these people out after everything they've done to him. But that's Jack for you.
Yes.
You know, give him somebody to fix and he will do it. But what I think is a little more interesting...
I'd be a little nervous if Jack Shepherd was the only doctor available to do surgery on me, though.
Yeah.
His track record is not... he's not batting... He's kind of batting about the same as a utility catcher for, you know, like the Kansas City Royals.
He's good at bandaging, but when it comes to actual surgery... Yeah, I think sort of Boone
it's fairly devastating.
Now Colleen and almost every flashback story. He's probably got a hell of a malpractice history. I hope he has insurance. But in any case, now Colleen's dead. This was not, in fact, Jack's fault. But I think there are probably going to be two major, you know, outcomes of this event. The first
Boone wasn't his fault either, but still.
Well, I don't know. I guess a very talented lawyer could make a case that it was Jack's fault.
That's true.
In any case, the two things being, first off, Jack seemed to take notice of these X-rays that were on the board outside, and he grabs Juliet and says, "Who'd you bring me over to save?" So I'm sure that our fans or non-fans have been buzzing about whose X-rays those might be, and I think you'll be finding that out very soon.
Exactly. I mean, the good thing is, because we have this 6-episode pod in the fall, we're actually going to be answering some of these questions before we disappear into our spring season.
And then the second outcome of Colleen's death is obviously she's got a husband on the island. We know this guy Pickett, who we've seen kiss her and
Pickett
hang
is not
out with
happy
her.
That and she was killed by Sun.
If my wife died, I'd be fairly upset about it.
Right. You might seek some vengeance, wouldn't you?
I would definitely. I mean, he's already sort of gone and beaten the holy tar out of Sawyer and yelling at Kate and all these things, so that guy's still in play, so it'll
be
very...
a vengeance kind of a guy. I wouldn't want to cross him.
You sure wouldn't.
So let's talk a little bit about the cost of living. Whose story is it?
It's Mr. Echo.
Yes.
Mr. Echo's story.
And of course, probably if you're listening to this podcast, you have also seen the promos that the network is doing, which... make it clear that somebody's going to die this week.
It's going to be one of those lame background characters, right?
Scott, Steve, whichever one didn't die before.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is dead? Scott?
I think Steve is dead.
Okay. Well, then maybe it's Scott.
One of those guys. But yeah. Is it going to be somebody lame like that?
I think that would be kind of a cop-out.
You're not answering the question.
No, I'm not answering the question.
Is it going to be that when you say somebody's going to die, do you mean like it could be an other? Or is it going to be one of our main people who we know and love?
I think that, you know, my guess is people will be pretty satisfied that we are killing somebody significant.
Okay. Fair enough.
Good.
Although I'm a little unsatisfied with that answer.
Well, you'd be unsatisfied if I gave a more complete answer. You know,
I'd be
it's kind of the porridge thing. It's like my answer is either too much or they're too little. There's really no middle ground, is there?
I'd be satisfied if you gave me a back massage while you answered the question.
Wow. All right.
Let's get to the questions.
Time to get to the questions here.
Play that music.
Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah, Carlton. I want to go first.
Awesome.
Do you back up the decision for such a long break? This is posted by D-Plane, boss, D-Plane. 53 posts in the last 90 days. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I waited anxiously for the season premiere, which, by the way, was a very long wait. And then to give us a tease of 6 episodes and turn around and take another 3 months off just does not seem logical. I don't even remember... I don't ever remember this type of thing happening. It's like one of your coworkers taking a 15-minute break and then going to lunch a half hour later. Really annoying. Well, I wonder what's happening at your office place.
Wow.
D-Plane, boss D-Plane. Will you run episodes consistently next season?
No.
All right. There
you
go.
I mean, The problem is we only can physically make 22 or 23 episodes a season, and there's 35 weeks in the television season. What would you have us do?
D-Plane Boss.
What? I mean, put yourselves in our shoes. Or maybe just yourself.
Just put yourself in Carlton's shoes. I'm wearing mine.
You can put yourself in one of my shoes.
All right, you can say that again.
But it's hard. We don't really have, you know, it seemed to us the best of the three options. The three options being regular repeats, which everyone was unhappy about, wait until January and then run 22 or 23 hours straight, which would mean 6 months between the end of season two and the beginning of season three, or have this little mini season in the fall and then come back and run out episodes from February straight through the end of the television season. And given those three choices, we opted for number three. We thought that was the best compromise that allows us to kind of keep our story momentum week to week. And if Lost is on, you know it's on. If it's not on, it's not on. And we embraced this idea in concert with ABC, and we think it's good. And only time will tell whether we were right or whether we were wrong.
And this just in, time has told us that we were right. So good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, time.
Thank you. Awesome. Hey, so this question, this is a series of questions here, which I think you can address, Damon.
Oh.
From Saint Video, who's posted 175 times in the last 3 hours.
Wow. Saint Video?
Yes.
I wasn't aware that video had been canonized. Well, congratulations.
Actually, they're moving on to DVD now. There's a Saint DVD, and pretty soon there's going to be a Saint HD DVD.
Excellent. It's good that the Saints are keeping up with the times.
The topic of the question is polar bears.
Yes.
And there's a series of questions here.
All right.
First one is, did the polar bears escape before or after the collapse of Dharma?
Wow, that's an excellent question. Should I just out and out answer it?
Yeah.
I would say during. Yeah. During the collapse of Dharma, it's sort of like those lions that got out when the United States started dropping bombs on Baghdad. You heard about them, right?
Yeah.
The Baghdad Zoo got bombed, yeah. And there were like lions wandering around when we came in. So that's sort of what I would reckon was happening with the polar bears.
What was the bombing, though?
I'm not going to tell you about the bombing.
All right.
I'm not implying there was a bombing.
All right.
There might have been a bombing.
Okay.
I'm bombing right now.
All right, I understand. No, you're doing okay.
All right.
For a small audience.
Were there any follow-up questions?
Yes, there were. Did the bear's escape cause the collapse of Dharma?
No. There was it was a result of the collapse of Dharma, I think.
Okay, two more questions.
I'm glad that I'm answering these.
These are good. There's no beating around the bush when it comes to these questions.
Nope.
How many Dharma people did the bears eat?
How many Dharma people did the bears eat? Oh, all of the bears in total?
Yes.
Did children count?
Well, yes. Children count as a whole person.
As a whole person.
Yeah.
Then the bears ate. Now, if it eats just your leg and you survive, does that count for anything?
No. You have to actually be digested. Dead. You have to be dead from being eaten.
Killed and bitten by the bears.
Yeah.
19.
19. Okay.
Wait. 20.
Yeah, there's that other guy.
Right.
Yeah.
20 okay. people.
Yeah.
So far.
Kyle.
Yeah.
And is Ben mean and evil because the bears stole his toy truck when he was a kid?
Wow. Interesting theory. That I'm not going to answer.
Okay.
Except to say no.
All right.
Thanks for that series of questions.
You're more than welcome.
Hey, Carlton, just quickly, because we might not have been as clear about this as we could have been. Did Jay jump or was he thrown? By Layla Red. Did Jay jump or was he thrown? Because jumpers usually jump face first. Okay, first off, before Carlton answers this, Layla, I want you to know that people care about you. And they love you, and you are an important person.
We love you, Layla, and don't even think about jumping.
Face first.
Face first, especially.
If you're going to do it like Jay did it.
Yeah. Like jump with your ass first.
Yeah, cannonball style.
Much better for windshield impact.
All right, sorry, I just had to get that out there.
Okay.
My actual question is this. I have two quick queries.
Wow.
This is also from Layla Red. If the hatch imploded, how were all the people blown out?
Well, in the laws of physics, such as they exist in the world of Lost, the implosion created a vacuum, and as the air came in to fill that vacuum, it rapidly heated and expanded, causing an explosion. So it was sort of a thermodynamic incident in which an implosion was followed by a subsequent explosion.
Also, Carlton's hair is blown out right now. this question, another quick question from Ninja Jeff.
Sure.
Yes or no, does Kate love Sawyer? Well, there you go.
I didn't even have to hear the whole question. I knew it was a yes.
Excellent. All right, those are my two quick questions.
Awesome.
She said she did.
Okay. Now, here's a person named Vardavar, who's posted 155 times.
Wow.
The Four Wise Monkeys, which can be viewed here, and then he has a website address that leads to...
You're assuming it's a he, I mean...
Yes, that's true. Or she. Anyway, you look at those Four Wise Monkeys. Does this have anything to do with what happened in the hatch, the explosion, or the philosophy of it? Locke can't speak, Charlie is deaf in one ear, Desmond is naked, and Echo, well, if it follows this, will be partially blind or is fully blind, or if not, my theory is incorrect. I have just come up with this, and there is still 2 hours left until the show airs. Mr. Q's and Damon. I like the fact that I'm Mr. Q's and you are just Damon.
That doesn't surprise me that you like that fact, Mr. Q's.
Am I right? And does it have anything to do with the four characters during the explosion? Does this confirm that there is a philosophical reference to see no evil, spear no evil, I'm sorry, hear no, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil.
And spear no evil.
What is the fourth one? If and be naked? If anybody can answer this,
no
cool. Thought it was interesting to bring up. No, seriously, there just are, there's see, speak, and hear. So what's the, we don't have time to look up that monkey picture right now.
Right.
But I assume it's going to be a naked monkey.
Well, interestingly enough, Charlie was not, you know, involved in the direct explosion of the hatch, because he came back at the end of the finale. And his ears are sort of ringing, I guess. But he's not really deaf.
What?
That's good. And Echo will not wake up blind when he wakes up. And Locke is temporarily mute, and I still don't know what Desmond being naked has to do with anything. So while it's an incredibly interesting and well-thought-out theory, one that I would have to say holds no water.
Right.
I have one more question for you, Carlton.
All right, rock.
This is from Box Glock. The show has gotten a lot of positive attention for the diversity of its cast, and deservedly so. I was wondering if there is any chance that the show could be getting a gay character, or that one of those great gut-punch-didn't-see-that-one-coming flashbacks will out one of the current characters.
Yeah, I think that there is a good possibility that, you know, we will discover one of the characters is gay on the show.
Like if I was a betting man, 5-1?
4-1.
4-1. Those are good odds.
Those are pretty good odds.
All right. Thanks.
So let me ask you one more question, Damon, and then we'll be on to... We'll be back in
actually
the writer's room.
Actually working on the show?
We're going to go back into the writer's room.
That
we're in the middle of breaking...
episode 10.
Episode 10 right now, which we're very excited about. Hurley.
Oh, yeah. That's an exclusive for you.
An exclusive here.
It's a Hurley
number
flashback.
10. Hurley flashback. By Joser Kind. Kind. K-Y-I-N-D. Damon and Carlton, congratulations on the new season so far. It has far exceeded my expectations. However, I have a few questions I would really like to have answered.
Excellent.
Supposedly, the character Scott died in the episode Homecoming. However, a closer inspection reveals that it was actually Steve's body that was found, and Scott still appeared on the series in Season 2. Why do all the Losties, except Sawyer and Anna Lucia, still think it was Scott who died, and will this have some payoff later, or is it just an extension of the gag?
The latter. It's just an extension of the gag. In fact, I think Scott is dead and Steve is alive. But for some reason, that part of your brain that just cannot wrap your brain around something, just, I cannot remember.
And in fact, there was actually some confusion because when the two actors who played Scott and Steve were informed that one of them was dying, they each claimed to actually be portraying the actor that was living.
Right, in the script, for example, we said, they find Steve's body, and then both of them said, I'm
Scott!
Because we had never named them.
And
so.
we were struggling, and we actually thought we knew who was Scott and who was Steve, but we really didn't. And in fact, then we got into a huge thing. We got the dailies back, and it was still hard to determine who was Scott and who was Steve.
Then we gave each actor a rock, and we said, whoever's left standing gets to be Scott.
That's right. And so one of them died, but we don't know which one.
Yeah, we don't know which one. So that's the true story.
Okay, so that was a very candid answer to number one. There's just two more.
Yeah.
Was the turbine man from the pilot Gary Troop author of Bad Twin?
Yes.
It was indeed.
And considering I've now read Bad Twin, Gary Troop got exactly what he deserved. Next.
When will more of the background cast get their moments in the spotlight?
Interesting. We saw two characters at the end of the third episode, the Locke flashback story, who are just sort of there as they're coming back into the camp. We'll learn their names as time goes on.
You mean Paulo and Nikki?
Or you'll learn them right now. That's another way to go. But sort of, you know, whenever we're introducing new characters on the show out of the cast of characters that are, have been there all along, it's always sort of a tricky, ingratiating process. You know, with Dr. Arzt, we had to just, we just sort of went for it, and there he was giving a big speech. But obviously, you haven't seen these characters before, so, you know, but there they are, and we might be seeing a little bit more of them this week in episode 5. In fact, I could pretty much guarantee that you'll see both Pal and Nikki. And I think looking forward into the season, you know, you might be sort of curious as to what have all those characters been up to all this time?
Right.
You know, what do they do when Jack and Kate and Sawyer are going off on their adventures or arguing about pushing the button or capturing others or dealing with Rousseau or getting the baby stolen? What is everybody else up to? And that's pretty much...
That might make a good episode.
It would make a good episode. I would watch that episode.
I would too.
We better watch it because we're going to write it.
Excellent. Well, guys, we've enjoyed this. We hope you have too.
You can stop rubbing my back now.
And we'll see you next week for more exciting adventures.
I guess we've only got one more podcast to go, really, right?
Well, we could keep doing podcasts about Daybreak.
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool? We could just come in here and just we'll just talk about Daybreak.
Is that legal? We could just answer questions about Daybreak however we chose to.
Exactly. That would be awesome. We could just make up our own version of the mythology. It would
probably be pretty awesome for anyone who's not watching Daybreak.
That's true.
But anyone who is watching Daybreak would probably be very confused.
Exactly. But we actually, hopefully, will be also having a few little tantalizing tidbits of Lost that will be sprinkled in to the fall after we are off the air. There's going to be some promos and maybe some podcasts.
13 weeks is a long time to be away.
Mobisodes.
That's almost as long as people had to wait for the season premiere. So
I know.
But you'll be rewarded with 17 fresh episodes of Lost, or 16.
Wow, you're excited about that, aren't you?
I'm so excited I could sleep.
All right, back to work. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.
That concludes this podcast. Join us next week for a discussion on the cost of living and a preview of the last episode of the first part of Season 3. Don't forget, if you find yourself in need of more Lost content, check out the website at lost.abc.com, where you can also submit your own fan questions. The Cost of Living airs Wednesday, November 1st from 9 to 10 p.m. only on ABC.
You're hearing the sound of America's most advanced assembly plant, but Honda and Toyota are only hearing footsteps. Because right here, Hyundai is building a better SUV. The all-new, feature-packed Santa Fe. With standard safety features like electronic stability control and 6 airbags. And the protection of America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. All for thousands less. The all-new, fuel-efficient Santa Fe. Only at Hyundai.
See dealer for limited warranty details. Safety belts should always be worn.